Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Jerome Clark joining us. And we're trying to put a perspective on the UFOs and paranormal mysteries in the ongoing discussions. So, Jerry, do you think some of these so-called whistleblowers who come out of the woodwork with some new kind of information about Roswell or any other case, they're in it for the glory? Certainly, they might also have the illusion that you can actually make money from the UFO field. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that some of them actually think they're going to put themselves in a position where they can get some cash out of their story. And, of course, they're almost always disappointed. But I don't know, you know, it sort of reminds me of the evolving legends associated with the JFK assassination, you know, where you have all kinds of people coming out of the woodwork but telling these great stories that either don't go anywhere or can be conclusively discounted.
You know, there's one right now, there's a book coming out next month, let me just interrupt, supposedly quoting a former mistress of LBJ, claiming that he admitted to her in kind of a sideways way that they finally got JFK. And therefore, LBJ is the person who directed the conspiracy to kill him.
Well, yeah, you're right.
The whistleblower du jour.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when something really big happens, like a presidential assassination or the crash of an extraterrestrial spaceship, at least the first one we know happened, second one still up for discussion. But nonetheless, these are extraordinary events, or in the case of Roswell, an extraordinary claim. And some people just want to put themselves into that story. And I think that if you studied these people, you'd probably find a common psychological profile. You know, one of them perhaps being a weak self-identity and people seeking to validate themselves by their association with some historical circumstance. I think that that's why you find more Roswell liars than you find liars in association with other kinds of, you know, UFO sightings and claims and controversies. Because Roswell is the big enchilada. You know, that's the one that everybody knows about. And in fact, most people now think that the whole UFO excitement began with Roswell rather than Ken Arnold.
I think most people, if you ask them, wouldn't know who Kenneth Arnold was.
That's right. That's right.
It's all about Roswell. That's the beginning and end of the mystery. And you also wonder, though, if you're going to have people who become fake whistleblowers for the glory and the finances, how does that explain someone like a Colonel Philip Corso, who I guess would be considered a Roswell whistleblower?
Yeah, I think that that probably gets to the core of that unanswered question of people putting themselves in the middle of this. I've talked with people who knew Corso and who say that he gave every appearance of being sincere, and yet his story made no sense and was problematic from almost any perspective. And yet he, you know, went to his grave telling this story. And, you know, I think that some people who put themselves into some core of history, you know, believe that. And they actually believe their own fantasies. And I don't really, you know, I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist. I don't know how this works, but it does seem to work for some people.
Well, I think you mentioned before, Jerry, it's self-esteem issues and worthiness issues. People that tend to grandstand like that, I think, have a very low self-esteem. And this is a way to inflate their personal sense of self-worth.
Yes, but a highly decorated military figure. Of course, you almost wonder that maybe he was partly or completely telling the truth, but then the powers that be did everything they could to discredit him. Again, if it's somebody who has a low self-esteem, has no achievements in life, whatever, or the best days are past them, you now have somebody who was a decorated soldier.
Well, Corso inflated his resume quite apart from the pretend involvement in the Roswell story and the subsequent war with extraterrestrials. You know, he had the profile of a guy who never quite filled his potential. Yes, he had some level of accomplishment, but clearly he never got to the top ranks.
Yeah, he never made general.
Yeah, and he was lieutenant colonel for a lot longer than he should be just a lieutenant colonel. And people who know military careers a lot better than I do have pointed this out, that this was a guy who really suffered, among other things, from career disappointment. His career wasn't a complete disaster or anything like that, but it hadn't gone where he clearly wanted it to go. And he would have died forgotten. We wouldn't be talking about Philip Corso if he hadn't done this book. You know, I saw the book in page proofs. I was sent it by the publisher. And I was really excited because I'd heard that this book was coming out, and I really expected something. And I started reading it, and I wasn't more than maybe 3 or 4 pages into it, and I began to realize that this was just a science fiction novel pretending to be something else. One time back in the spring of 1997, I was in New York City, and I was at the office of Corso's publisher, and I talked with a young guy who was his editor. And at that time, I hadn't read a word of Corso. I just heard the story. This book was coming out. I said, I understand there's this book coming out by this guy named Lieutenant Colonel Corso about Roswell and stuff. It wasn't what the guy said to me, his editor said to me. It was what he didn't say. And it was clear the guy knew that this story wasn't true. I can't remember his exact words, but I got the message. And I remember being disappointed, even a little deflated, because I was a lot more hopeful about the Roswell story back in 1997 than I am in 2013. When I read the book in page proof, actually I didn't read all of it through. I got about halfway through and I just lost interest. But I understood what the editor was attempting to communicate to me. That don't get too excited about this.
I agree with you. It read like a novel.
Yeah.
Well,
have
you read the original manuscript that he supplied the publisher before Bill Burns was brought in?
No.
It's available up on the Open Minds .tv website, I believe.
Oh, is that right? How is it different from the published version?
Well, it's quite a bit different. There's Bill Burns really had quite an impact on the final product. Let's put it that way.
Why'd you tell our listeners in what significant areas it was different than the story that Burns edited?
I haven't read through it. I really have no interest in the story. I've never felt it that it really had any sort of gravitas attached to it. I just based on some real fundamental flaws in it. I mean, there's an evidence train for a lot of the inventions that he said were salted into the private sector. I mean, there's a very clear chain of evidence behind some of the technological breakthroughs that Corso claimed were you know, directly resulted from alien technology. And just that fact alone, it really made me disinterested in the whole thing. I just felt it was an exercise of inflating, you know, someone's possible position in history and trying to make a name for himself before he passed along. So I haven't really read, to be honest with you, read through the original, you know, entirely through. But just looking at it, I can tell that there was incredible embellishments were placed in the final product based on the limited amount that I've read of the original version of it. And again, it is available, and I'm sure there's somebody out there who can post at forum.theparacast.com with a point-by-point analysis of how his original work you know, was really built out by Burns and by the publisher.
When I read the book originally, or at least the page proofs, I recognized that what this consisted of was just a bunch of stuff that was currently being discussed among ufologists about the supposed cover-up surrounding the Roswells. And for example, people appear that are entirely predictable, like Robert Sarbacher, you know, the physicist who said to Wilbert Smith that there was a crash saucer and there were bodies. And Sarbacher's brought into the story as a major figure in the cover-up. And it was like the MJ-12 document. If you look at the MJ-12 document and then go around and go back and look at what was being discussed within ufology about the Roswell incident in the mid-1980s.
So it more or less supported what was believed then. We have Jerome Clark joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
And the winner of fallback pricing is... you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com, that's freezedryguy.com, to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss!
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of healthcare can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So the theory here, of course, is that when books like that were crafted, like The Day After Roswell, they looked at the UFO popular culture and use that to influence them rather than talk accurately about what was going on. So it also takes us back to the beginning here, which is what can we believe or disbelieve about the Roswell case, since so much of this fact, fiction, dramatic license is being taken, so much of that has influenced the story.
Well, I think that really, as far as I can tell, the only reasonable response to all this stuff about Roswell, some of it seeming incredible, intriguing, not explained, and then a whole lot of dubious stuff, you know, competing with it, is just to be an agnostic. You know, just read the stuff, follow the controversy if you want to, if you're interested, and just say, well, this case isn't proved. That doesn't mean it won't be proved down the road somewhere. I mean, I'm certain myself that this will not be resolved until actual documents are produced whose provenance is unquestioned. We know these were contemporary, you know, military or other government documents attesting to the incident that people describe from memory orally decades later. Until then, I don't think that it's anything but a curiosity. It's just like a historical mystery, and it just, even after all these years, it just doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. You have a lot of interesting, intriguing, puzzling testimony, and then a lot of proved hoaxes and a lot of conclusion jumping, a lot of premature debunking, and it's just a mess. And I think, barring some incredibly unexpected revelation, such as I say, documents with unquestioned provenance, it's not going to change.
Yeah, it's a perfect distraction. It's a perfect red herring to keep everybody focused on something that is, you know, as you're suggesting, is it could be virtually unsolvable, while other cases that should receive major attention are just disappearing into the dustbin of history.
If Roswell actually happened, the wreckage would have had to have been taken somewhere. And yes, I understand about possibly funneling it into private industry, people having a need to know about different aspects of it. But wouldn't there be one genuine whistleblower after over 60 years? How could they keep it a secret that long? Something somewhere would have leaked.
Well, you could argue that there have been leaks. I mean, I think that the Roswell investigators have uncovered some people who were there, some retired military officers, most of them, or nearly all of them dead by now, but obviously they were interviewed before they were dead, who seemed completely sincere and whose stories seemed, you know, confirmed by the testimony of others who were there and so on. I mean, there is a body of genuinely puzzling testimony by people who seem to be honest from and whose testimony is backed up by this or that body of evidence. I mean, something happened. I don't think there's any question something happened. It's just that what was the nature of that something? And some of the people who were there tell these extraordinary stories that just make such claims that you have to have more than just their testimony, however sincere. And one thing that struck me reading, you know, the books by Carey and Schmidt in particular was, you know, the description of the effects that this experience had on people. Some of them were sort of traumatized to their graves, according to family members. And you read this stuff and you think, this is really interesting. But it just doesn't go anywhere beyond a bunch of strange stories.
But it comes back again to the same problem, which is if you had a physical spaceship that was picked up from the New Mexico desert, had to be taken somewhere. Where did it go? What was done with it? Who knew? And how do they keep the secret this long? And as you say, maybe there has been some whistleblowing, and maybe it's been muddled by a little disinformation from here to there and back again. But I just think somewhere along the line, there's got to be something out there. How do they keep that kind of secret? The government can't do anything right. They can't get out of their own way.
Well, I have a problem with no memory metal coming forward. Somebody must have squirreled some of that evidence away. And why haven't we seen a single piece? And there was like, you know, a whole football field's worth of material. Why haven't we seen somebody come forward with slam dunk evidence that this material had the qualities that people have described?
I think the answer is, I don't know. I mean, I just think that, as I say, it's a bunch of strange stories, not all of them obvious hoaxes. But unless you got, as you say, actual memory metal or documents of unquestioned provenance, it's just saying for ufologists to lead with Roswell as their major piece of evidence to, you know, persuade skeptical scientists and other people of the seriousness of the UFO question. I mean, the seriousness of the UFO question really comes out of stories that are of radar visuals and physical traces and things like that. It doesn't come out of a bunch of people's strange stories about an unprovable experience.
But doesn't that also serve to obscure all those other sightings? And that would serve the purpose of keeping it a secret. If you focus everybody's attention on Roswell, for better or worse, whatever happened there, they're not going to look into Stephenville, Texas. They're not going to look into 1,001 other compelling reports.
You know, my point exactly.
Well, you know, if you mean something conspiratorial about that, I'm more than a little skeptical because, first of all, by the late 1970s, the UFO story, as far as scientists and respectable opinion, elite media, et cetera, are concerned, the UFO story had played out. It wasn't going anywhere. It was just a fringe thing. And if anything, Roswell gave it a new lease on life, and it interested Congress. I mean, there actually were some, you know, low-level kind of quiet inquiries in Congress. President Clinton, when he was elected, wanted top aides to look into the Roswell story. The Roswell story actually had the opposite effect. It revived not only popular interest in UFOs, but also official interest. No, I think that the Roswell wasn't anybody's project to kill UFOs. If it was, it had the opposite effect. Anybody who wanted UFOs killed would have just let the status quo continue.
I think it was a distraction. I think there's a possibility that on some level, official notice was taken. They said, well, hey, we can use this to our advantage and keep people focused on this. Well, you know, real important potential cases are, you know, just going by the wayside, taking Gene's point there. So, obviously it was a revival of interest, but at the same time, it was a perfect place to get the public's attention focused on and also a perfect vehicle for disinformation and red herrings.
Speaking of red herrings, well, we'll have some more discussion about that shortly. But right now we're talking to Jerome Clark. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Is the Roswell case a possible red herring, real or imagined or fake, whatever, to divert our attention from all that other great stuff going on? With Gene and Chris, we have Jerome Clark. Jerry, you want to mention any further comments before we move on?
Yeah, I just frankly don't believe that. I'd have to see some good evidence that there was some kind of conspiratorial operation behind the revival of interest in Roswell. From my point of view, as someone who's written a lot about the history of the UFO controversy in America pretty much was dead after the mid-1970s. I think the last chance for a real change of elite opinion, including scientists and the New York Times and so on, was pretty much played out by the mid-1970s. The last part of it was the 1973 wave, which attracted a lot of interest and respectful attention and talk about how, these things have been around and they've been inadequately explained. Maybe we should look at this. But by the late 1970s, that had died out too. And I think that the whole UFO controversy was pretty much dead and just in the hands of some of us who, refused to be told what to think by the 1970s, the late 1970s. I just don't think that Roswell served anybody's purposes. I think it was just something that Stan Friedman and Bill Moore kind of accidentally stumbled upon. I don't think anybody set them up. I've never seen any evidence that Jesse Marcel Sr. was some kind of...
No, I'm not suggesting that.
It begins with Stan Friedman's meeting Jesse Marcel purely coincidentally when Stan was in, I believe, Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana.
And I think it was just circumstance, and then it built up. And ufologists aren't immune to this. They're human. I mean, you see a chance. Maybe this is going to blow the whole thing wide open. We get excited, or at least we used to get excited, and we believe the thing could be blown wide open. I remember a lot of that excitement was focused on the abduction phenomenon in the early to mid-1980s, and that was a disappointment. And I think that Roswell just played out the way some of these things do. We just labor away and get nowhere, and then something comes up that seems to give us a chance to make some quantum leap, and the quantum leap doesn't happen.
Well, the quantum leap, of course, never occurs.
And it's probably not going to occur. I think that basically all the power in this relationship is in the phenomena. The phenomena makes the rules and decides how these things work. And the rest of us who aren't part of the phenomenon or just trying to understand the phenomenon are just beating our heads against it. And it's not helping us. By it, I mean the phenomena. It just continues on its sort of elusive, puzzling way.
Well, you think then that the phenomenon is possibly directing our perceptions of it?
I don't know that. I do know, first of all, as I've said in my previous appearances on the show, I don't want to repeat myself unnecessarily, but I think there are a couple things going on. And one is an event phenomenon, an experience phenomenon. The event phenomenon in the UFO context is the hardcore phenomenon, the radar visuals, the physical traces, the CE2s, things like that, which actually seem to represent somebody else's technology and probably an extraterrestrial technology. So a small part of what people report as UFOs may indeed be visiting spacecraft from another solar system. But most of what people experience in terms of anomalies in the paranormal is an experience phenomenon. You can experience it. You can vividly experience it. You don't have to be crazy. It's a real experience. But that's all it is. There's no way in our level of current knowledge to get beyond somebody's story, somebody's memory, somebody's testimony of some extraordinary encounter. And so when we get beyond like the RB-47 types of cases, we're dealing with something that is by its nature solely in memory and testimony. There's no independent physical or instrumented attestation to its reality. It's just something that happened to you and was very frightening or unsettling. But it doesn't go any further than that. And what makes it even more confounding is that it is filtered through your consciousness. So you're experiencing it in some kind of cultural, otherworldly or supernatural experience is. Society's expectations about otherworldly experiences change over time. And things that may have been experienced, for example, as fairies and elves in the 16th century are experienced in some kind of extraterrestrial appearing context in the 20th and 21st centuries, because our idea of an otherworldly experience is an encounter with beings on another planet.
But could you possibly take that further and say it is the same as what appears to have a separate physical reality, such as things that have simultaneous visual radar encounters, things that could be photographed? Where is the line of demarcation between these two? Only because there seems to be a physical effect that you could see or measure?
Yes, I mean, for example, the hardcore UFO cases are technologically based not only to appearance but to the testimony of radar and other instruments. That there is something there that resonates like a technology, that acts like a technology. I mean, an advanced technology. But a high strangeness experience is just that. There is not, for example, in the abduction phenomenon, the equivalent of an RB-47 case. Abduction stories are entirely strange stories. They live in testimony, they live in memory. Sincere, non-crazy people tell about undergoing these experiences, but that's all they are. And in another cultural context, the precipitating agents wouldn't be ostensible aliens from outer space, but some other kind of, extraordinary entities.
Well,
that's
like
why,
it's a subcultural front-loading.
Yeah, that's, for example, why, in 1897... people experienced these things that looked like somebody's airship. And the entities they encountered looked like ordinary American inventors. And there weren't real airships. There weren't real American inventors, we know from history. But nonetheless, these seemed to be real experiences to people. And that, I think that's equivalent to the kind of high strangeness end of the so-called UFO phenomenon, when in fact there isn't a single phenomenon. There are at least two phenomena. And one is the event phenomenon, the other is the experience phenomenon. And I think that you can't, if you're trying to understand the core phenomenon by studying abduction stories, you aren't going to get anywhere. If you're trying to establish that there's somebody else's technology is in the Earth's atmosphere, then you're going to be studying radar visual cases, physical trace cases, CE2s, the sort of thing that leaves traces, something that actually science could work with if it wanted to. But the experience phenomenon is by its nature just elusive and unprovable. It's experienceable, but that's about all.
And you don't see a connection between the two at all?
I see that the event phenomenon is providing some of the imagery for the experience phenomenon. And that imagery is picked up in kind of anomalous dreams, you might call experience anomalies. They're sort of like in your sleeping life, you're dreaming, the images you get in your dreams are from your conscious memory, your conscious experience. But that doesn't mean that your dreams are literally true, that they're literal experiences. They're just, you know, fragments of memory and imagery that you pick up just from living in the world.
We're going to move to this world for a moment, then be back here. We have Jerome Clark joining Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Are you someone who forges your own trail? Are you a pioneer with the need to homestead your self-reliant entrepreneur spirit? If so, RF Bunker has a franchise opportunity for you. RF Bunker is the fastest growing emergency and survival retail store in the United States. RF Bunker franchise opportunities are leading the way for business-minded heroes seeking adventure in owning and operating their own emergency supply and survival store. Visit rfbunker.com or call 866-623-2932. This offer is not being directed to any resident of the register-required states.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
You have all seen and heard about the elements of the periodic table. These elements are the building blocks of everything in the universe. You, my friends, are made from these elements. A shortage of any of these important trace elements can lead to disease. Go with the science and take the Lady Talk Health Challenge and get all 90 essential trace elements with a healthy start pack at LadyTalkLive.com or call 855-333-LADY. That's 855-333-5239.
Research shows it's not just what you put in your body that counts, it's what you put on it as well. Why not use an all-natural, healthy mineral-based makeup that actually benefits your skin? Once you experience the airiness and flawless coverage of Youngevity Mineral Makeup, you will never use anything else. With Youngevity, the perception of your complexion will be natural perfection. Animal-friendly mineral makeup at Mary Lou Health. That's MariluHealth.com or call 855-321-HEALTH.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
What we're doing here, folks, is not just repeat case histories over and over again, but trying to assess what's really going on and seeing what types of UFO phenomena we're confronting and whether we can come up with some answers or maybe there are no answers. And that's what makes it even more complicated. Jerome Clark joining us with Gene and Chris.
What I'm hearing, Jerry, is you're coming down almost, where Jacques Vallée kind of ended up in his public involvement with ufology, in that, you know, he sort of ascribed a cultural thermostat to the phenomenon, that it would supply experiences when the culture needed to be heated up, and then when the culture is heated up, then it tends to pull back, almost like a thermostat on a heating and cooling system. And he related that to culture. So it sounds like you're almost falling along those lines, that you're looking at something that is. Go ahead.
No, I don't believe that at all. I mean, I respect Jacques Vallée, and he and I are friendly, and he's a great thinker, and he's contributed to a lot of things to our understanding. But I think that hypothesis goes, to put it mildly, beyond the evidence. That's just wildly speculative. And I don't think we have any clue why these things happen. I mean, we don't even really have a vocabulary. When I talk about experience anomalies, I just struggle for some vocabulary. You know, we think, without even thinking about it, that something is true or it's not true. Well, what if there's a third category where those delineations don't apply? That something is true and false at the same time, that it exists in some liminal zone. And I think that extraordinary encounters fall into that zone, and we don't have a vocabulary. We have a really hard time imagining.
Well, there is a term. It's called the trickster.
It's not necessarily an event.
The trickster is probably our most concrete liminal force that we've been able to language and put a tag on. So it almost sounds like there's some sort of tricksterish agenda going on.
Well, I agree with the tricksterish. I don't know how you establish there's an agenda going on. There are just these experiences which may or may not mean something, may reflect some larger order, or they just could be just meaningless junk. We don't know. But I don't ascribe intentionality to it because I don't know what that intentionality would be. I don't even know that it's necessary. It's just, we can see its effects on individual people, and maybe in some ways these feed into religious beliefs, and if a religion is established, obviously that affects culture and history and civilization. and people's way of living in the world, but there's no way of knowing whether the phenomenon was just something that we made of it on our own.
Well, why do so many abductees report conversations and interactions that talk about how, you know, we're putting our ecosystem in peril with radiation and look at Fukushima, I mean, as an embodiment of that particular admonishment. And there's this constant thread that seems to go through these experiential versions of the phenomena in terms of interactions of putting the environment in peril. I would say that suggests to me that there's some sort of agenda there.
Or it could just simply reflect societal concerns that we all hear about. And, you know, any rational person is concerned about the state of the environment and of the Earth ecosystem. And, you know, you can have dreams about those things. You can have dreams about anything. And also, the fact is that there are just a whole lot of books written about the abduction phenomenon. There are television shows and so on. And this is sort of a loop that feeds into people's dreams and experiences.
So they hear about abductions, they read a book by Whitley Strieber, by David Jacobs, by Bud Hopkins, and they dream about such things?
Yeah, they don't even necessarily have to read those books, because it's just in the air. You know, you can go into a bar, sit down, and start talking to the idiot next to you, and you know, about UFOs, and he will know about abductions. I mean, I think that, as I say, these things are not unreal. They're just stuff that is built, really anomalous stuff that is experienced out of certain themes in the culture. And 500 years ago, cultural themes were different, and people had different kinds of entities that didn't involve, for example, extraterrestrials coming here in technologically constructed vehicles, but they had some kind of understanding of what the other world was like, and they often framed it in terms of the fairy realm. And people really experienced it. It didn't mean that fairies really existed, but it did mean that people had real experiences of them, and experiences that are really difficult to explain in terms of current knowledge.
But then, and I'm still trying to understand this, you can't assume then that maybe some of these experiences do present physical effects? And that takes us back to the event-driven phenomenon of UFOs.
Well, the hardcore cases seem to me to be extraordinarily suggestive, and from some point of view, even proof, depending on how you define proof. And I often wonder whether historians and scientists looking back at the mid-20th century in our time in the early 21st century and think, why couldn't scientists of that time have figured out from some of these extraordinarily evidential UFO cases that extraterrestrial visitation was occurring? What was the blind spot? In my opinion, as someone who is a historian of this controversy, I think you could make a case that by the late 1940s, certainly no later than the Nash-Fortenberry sighting and the Washington National sightings in 1952, that any reasonable person, including a scientist, looking at this, would not have said, yes, somebody else is in our atmosphere, and their vehicles can be traced on radar, you know, and they can be seen by multiple witnesses and so on and so on. They leave traces when they land on the ground. They sometimes burn witnesses. You know, this is somebody's technology, and we can establish the existence of these visitors just from studying the measurable effects that their craft produce on witnesses and on the environment. You could have made a case as the early 1950s that, yes, this was going on and we have good evidence of it. It's just that nobody with the resources or the power to make something of this would go near it, as far as we know. I mean, there could have been real secret projects, but we don't know that anybody really took that hard evidence other than the scattered serious UFO investigator, the scattered powerless scientist working on in his spare time, and to the disapproval of his colleagues. I mean, the fact that we don't understand the core UFO phenomenon in 2013 perhaps says...
that speaks volumes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a solvable problem. I think it still is. It just needs the expertise and the resources of the laboratories. And, you know, I think that's solvable. The experience end of it, the high strangeness end of it, probably requires a considerable rethinking of almost everything we assume about how the world works. But as I say, we don't really even have a vocabulary for these extraordinary stories and experiences.
Languaging is really important.
Okay. Another question which we can maybe take up in our next segment.
Okay, Jerry,
unless you want to respond to this, but we have only about 40 seconds left before we split, so I wanted to just raise this, and you can discuss this and other possibilities in our next segment, which is, okay, maybe the government has all these years been truthful. They don't accept UFOs as real. They're not interested in looking at any further evidence, and that's it. Or we look at the other possibility, which people who want disclosure will continue to assert, which is that the government does have some inkling that something weird is going on. They may or may not know what is causing those weird things to go on, and thus they keep it from us, in which case, how do we find out? And then we go back to the question of Roswell again. What about the leaks from the whistleblowers? Is that a way of getting information, and why wouldn't there be whistleblowers if there were something to blow the whistle about, right? We have Jerome Clark joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.